Good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. We want to welcome all of our visitors. Glad you're here with us this morning. The text I chose for this morning is out of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. I want to talk about true joy. You hear a lot of talk about joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and it is, but sometimes we confuse joy with giddiness, with the emotion of being giddy and happy, and we think Christians are supposed to walk around with a smile all the time and never let anything bother them. And I want to present to you this morning that's not necessarily so. So our text this morning is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Father, I thank you for your word. I know that your word is truth, that by your word that we are sanctified. Father, I thank you that we live in a country that we can still gather in your name without fear of persecution or restriction. I pray, Lord, that we might be encouraged from this text this morning, that we may understand that true joy doesn't always mean that we're happy, but that true joy is the assurance that we have in you through Christ Jesus our Lord. And I ask these things in his name. Amen. Whenever a Christian suffers, any of us, at least to me, it seems natural for us to ask God why. We equate suffering with punishment a lot of times. God must be angry. If you've read the book of Job, that's what his so-called friends were telling him. "We knew you weren't as righteous as you act. You weren't as holy as you act. God's thumping on you, and you just need to repent and confess, and God will let up on you." And Job, he got a little sanctimonious in places, but Job said, "I honestly can't think of anything I've done to offend God." And as I say, sometimes we equate trials, grief, testing with the fact, or we believe, maybe God's angry. Maybe he's punishing me. Sometimes God does use trials to punish us. Paul said we should be glad for that, because if he does not discipline us, it proves you're not a Christian, you're not his child. And that God will discipline us, he does it out of love. Paul said he does it so he doesn't have to judge us with the world. So it's an attention getter. I remember sometimes when I really act up, my dad would take a belt to me. When he got done, he'd say, "Now that I have your attention, I want to talk to you." And he had my full attention. That bell heated up the seat of my britches. The heat went up, melted the wax from my ears, and I could hear fine. "Yes, sir, I'm listening." And sometimes, church, whether we like to believe it or not, God gets our attention at times. But every time that we have trials doesn't necessarily mean that we're being punished. Does the devil try God's people? Yes. He is the tempter. We read in the Gospels where our Lord was tested by him. And I like Luke's account, because he says after the testing, the devil left him till a more opportune time. How many of you know he doesn't give up? He's very persistent. He will push at you. He will bite at you. He will bother you. He will try to wear you down, and he knows our weaknesses. So sometimes testing is of the devil. But it bothers me when I hear Christians say, well, that's just the old devil. You know, I had this bad time. That's just the old devil picking on me. Well, you need to watch out. Don't accuse the devil of doing something that the Lord's doing. That's borderline blasphemy, church. We need to understand that God allows trials in our lives. He allows suffering. And I know we don't like that. As I said, when we go through it, the first thing we want to ask is why? Why me, God? I don't deserve this. What we should ask is, what are you trying to teach me? Because God will use trials to teach us. He'll use trials to show us where our faith may be lacking. He'll show us our shortcomings. He may show us we have a bad attitude. And as I said, sometimes he gets your attention. And there's no mistaking when he's getting your attention. He gets you in a place that he can talk to you if you will listen. Peter began this epistle with a praise. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. The Greek word mercy is eleos, and it simply means compassion. Peter fully understood the compassion of the Lord. He had denied knowing him three times at a very critical time when the Lord really could have used a friend. This friend denied him, denied knowing him. And yet when the Lord was raised, Peter was forgiven and reinstated. Peter understood mercy. And he began the epistle by praising God for the mercy that he has shown to us. You know, God didn't save you because of your merits. He didn't look at anybody in this room, including me, and say, well, I think they're good enough to be a Christian. That doesn't happen. In fact, Paul said in the book of Romans in chapter 5, while we were his enemies, he died for us. When we stood for everything that he stood against, God in his mercy sent his son to die for us so he could redeem us. We couldn't redeem ourselves. And I've seen Christians over the years think, well, if you're a Christian, you'll dress a certain way, you'll eat a certain way, you'll listen to certain music, you won't watch TV, and that makes you a Christian. Well, I'll say it again, Muslims are the same way, Jehovah's Witnesses are the same way, and I'm not going to call them Christians. You don't measure your Christianity by the things that you don't do. The question is, what are you doing for the Lord? It's easy to say, well, I don't do this and I don't do that. And bless God, you need to get saved and have all the fun I'm having. The world doesn't care what you know, church. The world wants to know if we care. That's the love of God. That we reach out in compassion, the same compassion he showed to us. So Peter began this epistle by reminding the church, God in his mercy, in his compassion, has caused us to be born again. We who didn't deserve it. Grace, unmerited favor, God's unmerited favor. God chose to love us. He still loves this world as much as it hates him. And If God will love you and I that much as enemies, Paul said, how much more will he save us from his wrath when we come to him? So don't look at trials as God beating up on you. Don't look at trials necessarily as, well, I must be doing something wrong, or this is the devil picking on me. Understand something, God allows trials. God will test you. He'll never tempt you. There's a difference. James said, when someone is tempted by evil, let no one say, God is tempting me, because he tempts no one with evil, and he cannot be tempted with evil. But he does test. There's two examples I pulled up from the book of Exodus. You remember at the waters of Marah, it said Moses led the children of Israel away from the Red Sea after God had parted the sea. They went 3 days without water. I've been told that the most precious commodity in the Middle East isn't oil, it's water. It's a very dry, arid country. And they had went 3 days through the desert without a drink, and it said they began to complain. And they said, did you bring us out here to kill us with thirst? Well, Moses found some water, and they named it Marah, because that's the Hebrew for bitter. They couldn't drink it. It was bitter. So God showed Moses a log and said, throw that in the water, and the water became sweet so they could drink it. And the Lord said to Moses, I was testing them. I let them go thirsty for 3 days because I was testing them. So don't let somebody tell you that God will not test his people. He will. He has every right to test us. He said, I want to see if they're going to walk in my law and obey my commandments. In Genesis 6 or Exodus 16, we read of where they complain they're hungry. And God told Moses, I'm going to rain bread down. And you only gather enough for 1 day. If you gather more than that, it'll spoil. On the Sabbath, you can gather 2 days' worth. Or just before the Sabbath. And he told Moses the same thing. I am testing these people. So understand something, church. God will test us, and sometimes he will use trials to do so. It's easy when you have money in the bank, the kids are healthy, you and your wife are getting along, just to praise God and say, isn't God a good God? But when things start going south, it's a little bit harder to praise him sometimes. I don't remember any time in my life that I've ever prayed, I thank you for these griefs, Lord. I thank you for these trials. I like this. But understand something, church. God does it for our benefit. God says this has to be corrected. This needs to be stronger. This area of your life needs to be stronger. I think what he said to me more often over the last 40 years is, you don't need to be full of yourself. You need to be full of Christ. I was in a Sunday school class. Me and a lady were teaching together. We would take turns. And she said, well, one of the problems I see today is people have a low self-esteem. As Christians, we should have a high self-esteem. I said, well, I disagree. I said, we're full of ourselves. We have a very high self-esteem. Listen to people talk on the street. My right. This is my right. I have a right. They're just full of themselves. I said, we need to have a Christ esteem as believers. How does God see us? How does the Lord Jesus Christ look at us? That's the esteem we should have, church. But it's easy for us human beings to become full of ourselves, our opinions, our attitudes. We think nothing's holier than our attitudes and opinions. They ought to be carved in stone, just like the Ten Commandments. My third year of Bible college, when I went before the board of doctors, they said, what have you learned? I said that only the Ten Commandments are carved in stone. They said, good. You're learning something. I said, I couldn't believe God wanted me to give up something as holy as my opinion. I remember in theology too, one minister threw his pencil on the table and said, I thought I knew what I believed until now. And the professor said, that's where we want you, Ray. He said, we want you to question. What do you hold to? Why? So you can give a reason of the hope that is in you. That's why. Paul said, trials develop endurance and godliness and character. And I know how I think, isn't there another way? You're God. Can't you just fill me with character and endurance? I watched a science show one time. I like watching them until they get into evolution, then I lose interest. But they were at a tree nursery, and they were growing these trees. And it was interesting to me, they said, if you take a young sapling and put it in a sterile environment, no wind, no storms, they said that tree will grow up straight and true. But the first time a big wind hits it, it'll uproot it. They learned over the years that a sapling needs that resistance of the wind and the storms, rocking it back and forth, because that developed the strength of the tree. And when I was watching that, I thought, you know, that makes sense, Lord. If you gave us a trouble-free life, what would happen the first time opposition came our way or trouble came our way? We'd fall apart. Now, a lot of times newer Christians, they buy the lie that when you get saved, you're not going to have any more problems. They find out quick enough. If they'll stick with it, they'll find out how faithful God is to get them through it. The Bible says He won't allow you to be tested above what you can stand. Mother Teresa once said, sometimes I wish He didn't trust me so much. You ever feel like that? You ever been through trials and pains in your life that you just cry out and say, God, I can't take this? What does He say? You get a hold of my hand. Together, we'll walk through this. Praise God, church. That's the kind of Savior we have. God doesn't save you and then say, you're on your own. Just do the best you can. You remember what our Lord said to His disciples just hours before He went to the cross? He said, in this world you will have tribulation. You will have anguish, grief, trials. But what did He say? Be of good cheer. I overcame the world. We just need to follow in the Master's footsteps. Even Jesus had to suffer. The Son of God had to suffer. The writer of Hebrews says He offered up prayers with strong tears and crying. And He was heard because He feared Him. And through suffering, He learned obedience. So you see, church, when we go through trials, God is teaching us. He's working with us. He's developing us into that image that He wants us to be. I think it's in Corinthians, Paul said that we are changed from glory to glory. And one of my professors said the Greek literally means from image to image. He's not done with you. He's not done with me. Some people think I'm kind of hardcore. I've been helped. You should have known me 40 years ago. He's kind of weird. I've been helped. You should have known me 40 years ago. I've never once in my life ever had God say, you're on your own. I'm done with you. You just go on. Now, if we're honest, church, we can admit sometimes we go through things because of our own stupid decisions. Yeah. Say, well, you quit preaching, went to meddling now. My dad, one of his favorite sayings, when I was going to get a whipping, he'd say, well, boy, you danced to the fiddler. You danced to the music. I'm sorry. Now it's time to pay the fiddler. I didn't like paying that fiddler. Now I don't want to pay the fiddler. And sometimes, church, we make stupid decisions, ungodly decisions, decisions we don't consult the Lord about, and we think, I got this figured out, and we get into all kinds of mess, and what do you want to do? We want to turn around and yell at God. What are you doing? God says, I'm not doing it. You did it. Sometimes He'll let you have your head. I'm going this way, and the Lord say, well, okay. You're not going to like it, but okay, go ahead. But He's always waiting where you leave Him. I've talked to people that said, well, I used to go to church, I used to try to be a Christian, and I walked away from the Lord, and I don't think the Lord wants anything to do with me. And I always tell them, he's right where you left him. We can walk away from him. He doesn't walk away from us. When God saves you, he takes you just as you are. But he has no intention of leaving you that way. And if you think that that's Christianity, you're in for a rude awakening. That's hard for people to get a hold of sometimes. You don't know what I've done. No. And honestly, I don't care. I don't mean to sound callous. I don't care what you've done. It's none of my business. That's between you and him. But I've never read in the scripture that Jesus said, come to me, all you who's lived a pretty decent life. And, you know, he doesn't say that. Come as you are. Bring all your baggage. Bring all your quirks. Bring all your problems. Come to me just like you are. But he does not leave you there. When we come to him in faith, God immediately begins to work from the inside out and change us into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. That's his goal. He doesn't want me being the best Rick that I can be. He wants me to be like Christ. He wants the same thing for you. First time I read when the Apostle Paul said, Jesus Christ came to save sinners of whom I'm his chief. I thought, Paul, step aside. Now you're second in line. I was a vile man and I knew better. I grew up going to church. I walked away from the Lord when I was about 15 years old and never looked back. But one night, sitting in a friend's living room by myself, considering blowing my brains out, I called out to him, and in his mercy, he touched me. I was convinced God wanted nothing else to do with me. I realized something. I knew about God when I was a kid going to church. I knew about him. I knew about Jesus. But I didn't know him. I wasn't acquainted with him. When I came to Christ, this from my experience, it was like he put one hand on me and one hand on the Father and said, Rick, this is the Father. Father, this is Rick. When I received the Holy Spirit, it was like he got a hold of me and said, this is Jesus. Not that religious guy you've heard about. Not the one that laid a bunch of rules down. This is Jesus, the one who died for you and was raised again from the dead that we might be justified. None of us enjoy trials, church. None of us enjoy painful experiences. But what I want you to get a hold of this morning, keep it in the forefront of your mind. God's not against you, Christian. If you're a child of God, he's not doing that because he's against you. He's trying to teach you. He's trying to build you into the person that he wants you to be. Don't resist it. He understands when we whine and complain. I'm glad. If he loved us enough as enemies to save us, then as children, how much more does he love us? How much more is he wanting to work with us and mold us into the people he wants us to be? Your enemy will whisper in your ear, what's the point? God must be mad. You blew it. But he's a liar. Jesus said he's the inventor of lies. He's the father of it. Why do you want to listen to a liar? Listen to what the Lord says. Peter said he loved us and he caused us to be born again because of the compassion that he has for us. So when you face trials, when you face painful experiences, don't run away from God, run to him. That's the best advice I can give you. I've tried running from him. It doesn't work. You'll run right smack into him every time you try to run from him. You can't hide from God. Run to the Heavenly Father. We're allowed to cry, Abba. To my understanding, and I've not had the languages, it means daddy. Wow. Run to him. When things don't make sense, run to him. When you're suffering and you just want to quit, don't run away, run to him. It might be several years down the road, but he will show you very often why you had to go through something. When I first came to Christ, I was an avid reader of Louis L'Amour. I grew up reading Louis L'Amour like the Bang Bang Shoot 'Em Ups, me and Tel Sackett killing the bad guys. I just really got into that. And after I got saved, I sensed the Lord saying, I don't want you reading that anymore. Okay. You know, was it wicked? No. And it was several years later, I was praying and I asked the Lord that. I said, why? They're harmless. He said, I didn't want you to get your idea of what a man was from that. I wanted you to get your idea of what being a man is from my word. Okay. If you're here this morning and you've never called out to the Lord, then I invite you to do that. If you're here this morning and you have called out and you're away from the Lord, you know you're not where you're supposed to be. You're not where God wants you. Don't run away from him. Run to him. Our God is full of compassion. He wants you to come back. If you're here this morning and you're suffering and you don't understand it, understand this, he still loves you. And he may very well be trying to shape and mold you. I know it's hard for us to believe, but there's things about us God doesn't want to leave the same. He has no use for. And as long as we hang on to it, he can't use us. We have to be willing and humble enough to lay those things at his feet and say, here, Lord, nail these to the cross. I want to live that new life that you've called me to. Would you stand with me this morning? Isn't God a good God? Amen. Is he a merciful God? Does he love us? Should we trust him? Yes.